It's time for JT the Brick.
See, the key to good sports radio, not great, but good sports radio, is you don't have to force it. I don't want to come in here and force Raider content on days where there's no Raider content. What are we going to do? We're going to talk sports. All different types of sports, because we do a sports talk show. I mean, I'm dealing with insanity here. This guy's legit, but wow. Calm down. We're going to start talking sports. Did you hear what I said? I'm good.
JT the Brick.
We're providing content here every day with opinions. And I'm pretty strong with my opinions. I think you'd agree, and I stand by them. Mixing in the NBA, mixing in basketball and the Golden Knights. This has been the longest running show in the history of the Raiders. Nothing's close. You better be vocal today, everybody. I'm demanding greatness on the phones. Get your ass in gear today. I got my A game. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. Got it? That's the show.
And now,
Fandemonium.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, welcome back as we continue on Friday here as we wrap up our week on the flagship of the Silver and Black Raider Nation Radio. And if you're listening on the Raiders mobile app or you watched us this week on YouTube, however you consume the content, we appreciate it. This was a really unique week. Bobby and I talked about this as we prepped the show this morning. And I wanted to do something for selfish reasons to have, you know, collecting my content over the decades. And this is something I wanted to collect because this week was all about the passing of Willie Mays. Unexpected, even though he died at the age of 93. Always unexpected, especially you don't know the condition of someone at the time. And we decided, let's pivot. We're talking about a Mount Rushmore, the greatest baseball player of all time. And we make a living in sports, and baseball's the oldest sport. And it's really important. We live in Vegas. We're on the West Coast. You know, Vegas isn't the coast, but we're in the Pacific time zone where the San Francisco Giants are. Watched a lot of games. I'm from New York, where Willie Mays played for the Mets at the end of his career. He started at the Polo Grounds. He's my dad's. He's not my dad's favorite player. It's just my dad said the greatest player he's ever seen. And I clarified that because that's also Joe DiMaggio, Ted Williams, and all those players. So my whole life has been encompassed around the knowledge, at least, or the awareness of Willie Mays. And living in San Francisco as they built the ballpark there a couple of years ago, and seeing him around the ballpark on the video boards or tipping his cap and when he was announced, big deal. So for this week, we talked to two over the last 24 hours of the greatest players of all time, and Pete Rose. And last night, I was hosting Mad Dog Sports Radio on Sirius XM, and Reggie called in. And this was so cool for me. And my friendship with Reggie Jackson, and a lot of that goes through Mark Davis, and Mark Davis and Al Davis's connection through Reggie Jackson and getting to know him over the decades on the sideline of the Raider games. And he's one of my heroes. So going through the show yesterday, and before we get to Pete Rose again, Reggie was, I wouldn't say confused, he was just on Birmingham time. We're in Vegas. He's normally in the Bay Area, in that area of Monterey, or you know, floating around doing a golf tournament somewhere else. So I think he got confused on when we were on, and he texted me right before I went on the air at 4 o'clock Pacific last night, and I alerted the guys I was working with last night, hey, Reggie's got our call-in line. He might call in. So I turn on the TV, and Fox is at Rick Wood Field in Birmingham, and I'm watching the pregame show, and I'm watching it, and I'm in amazement. Fox is brilliant at hiring A-list talent. Case in point, Tom Brady. Right, Tom Brady got hired by Fox. You go down the list of the icons that they've hired over the years, but they're just really special when it comes to baseball. So last night, and yet they're polarizing figures. Remember, Pete Rose was on the desk and in the studio for Fox a while. I thought Pete was really good on that platform where he grabbed the baseball bat in studio, show you the strike zone and all that. So last night as I'm watching, Kevin Burkhardt is anchoring. He had Alex Rodriguez to his left, Big Poppy, and Derek Jeter, and when I turned it on last night, Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr. were on the set. I mean, think of that, and the amount of home runs, the greatness of those players. So I tweeted out, look at this A-list talent on Fox, and then Reggie came on the segment after that, and Reggie got pretty emotional about his time in Birmingham when he was a young ball player playing in the minor leagues for the A's, and he was away from home for the first time. And I did a long podcast with Reggie where we talked about this and the racism he endured from hotels and restaurants and the fear at times that he was in. And this is a guy who played football. Reggie's a tough, tough dude. But still, he understood the magnitude of the Klan and the racism in the South and how he had to sleep on couch to couch because they wouldn't let him rent an apartment. I mean, this was heavy stuff. And Reggie told that story on the pregame show on Fox last night. And it was riveting television to see a little bit of it. I was taking my headset off and hosting the show. And then Reggie was going to go into the booth on the live broadcast later in the show. He thought enough to call me and call into the show. So this is last night as Reggie Jackson was in Birmingham for the Giants and the Cardinals on his way to the booth on Fox for the play-by-play call. And this happened. Reggie Jackson, I thought, was absolutely spectacular on Fox. He was just incredible on the pregame show, and that looked to be very emotional for Reggie, who I think we have right now, if we can bring him up. Reggie, thanks for calling us from the ballpark, and tell me about that experience on the desk at Fox with those other legends. You were highly emotional. That was fantastic.
Well, JT, it's just easy to tell the truth. It's painful. At the same time, I don't want to relive it. You know, so it's not easy coming back to Birmingham, but I don't dislike Birmingham. I dislike what happened. I don't dislike the people. I dislike what was. And so, obviously, there's change. But certainly, when I talk about how I got through it, if it wasn't for the white guys on the team and the manager, Rudy, Duncan, Raleigh Fingers, Johnny McNamara, I don't survive emotionally as a 19-year-old kid. Are you kidding? So I want to let people know that I appreciate and acknowledge the help. Without Jim Brown told me, Reggie, without the white man, there's no progress. So be patient and make sure you acknowledge. So for me, I want to acknowledge the support I got from my teammates and these men that are all still alive. Without them, I don't make it. I couldn't have survived.
Yeah, and Reggie, we had a long conversation, you and I did, a long interview, which I really appreciated. And you talked about the concern your dad had back home when you were in Birmingham. And he, you know, and what your dad was telling you at the time. Can you share that with us as a young boy, young man, and the real racial issues you were dealing with and how your parents were worried about you and what was happening then?
Well, you got a 19-year-old kid in a place he's never been, which is in Alabama. And any time when you were black and you heard Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Georgia, it struck fear in you because you get caught somewhere on a back road and you would never know what happened. So my parents felt the same way. I was down here by myself and didn't know what was going on. And, you know, you never know what could happen to me.
Reggie Jackson is our guest. Hey, Reggie, tonight there's a 99-year-old Negro League player alumni there, and there's a bunch of gentlemen in wheelchairs that are there. What is that like for you? If you started in the minor leagues, they're seeing these gentlemen, many who served their country, in harm's way, being paid tribute tonight. What's that like in person?
It's awesome. It's fantastic. You get to see these guys. You get to talk to them. You get to see them and realize what they went through. I tasted what they went through. I remember being here, and the sheriff here was a guy named Bull Connor. And he said, stood on the steps here of Rickwood Field and said, ain't no one's going to go no game in him. And had a shotgun. I mean, so, you know, that's what it was like back in those days. I remember in 1963 here, they took baseball away from this town because of the murder of the four girls in the church. Mm-hmm. That people knew the Klan did it, but no one was ever indicted years later. Mm-hmm. Life magazine did a story on those guys a couple years later, and it was biographies on them, and nobody said a word. So it's a difficult trek, difficult journey that I don't want to expose to anybody else.
Absolutely. Hey, Reg, we'll let you get back to the game. I want to talk to you maybe in the coming weeks about this experience when you head home, and we could sit down and talk about it. I greatly appreciate your friendship and time to do this from Birmingham tonight live. Thank you.
Thanks, JT. Take care, buddy.
So I hope you appreciated that. For me, that was pretty historic, and I was just really excited, and it made me feel great about Reggie Jackson again. And he's trending today because his viral video, as he was there with Alex Rodriguez hugging him and Big Papi and Jeter and everyone last night, it was pure. He said the N-word a few times on the broadcast. He was highly emotional. It was really important to him. I thought Reggie Jackson was spectacular because not only his friendship with Willie Mays, but his connection to Birmingham, and to have all that and tell that story in real time, not rehearsed from the heart, affected a lot of people last night. And then the Pete Rose factor, as we're here on Friday, and the all-time hit king who lives in Vegas, thought enough of me to come on the show yesterday. If you didn't catch it, I wanted to have this back-to-back so I could have this for decades to come. This was Pete Rose as he called in to talk about his friend Willie Mays. Pete Rose, kind enough to join us on the passing of Willie Mays. Pete, thanks for a few minutes on the loss of one of your great friends. How you holding up?
Doing good. You know, he was such a good player, such a good personality. Really helped young players. I was a young player when I met him. I remember the first time I met him, I said, "It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Mays." And he said, "That was my dad. Call me Willie." And it seems like ever since that time we hit it off. But I remember when I used to go to All-Star games and Willie was on the team along with Henry and a bunch of other guys that seemed like they were always on the All-Star team. I think Willie made 24 All-Star games, which is a hell of a lot of All-Stars, no question about that. But I just remember Willie, how he took time with the younger players. And I know he was a National League fan. He played his whole career in the National League, and he understood the importance of winning the All-Star game, and that's why I think one of the reasons why he tried to relax all the young players.
Yeah, Pete, you always told me about that and how serious you took the All-Star game. I want to follow up on Willie the competitor, 1951 Rookie of the Year, 2 years of service for his country, comes back and wins a World Series and the MVP. Imagine LeBron James or Tom Brady or someone doing that in another sport. Remarkable. Tell me about Willie when he stepped on the diamond as a competitor to want to win and be great.
Well, you knew your battle was on because that's just the way Willie was. And I never seen a guy that was so relaxed, always in a good mood, always smiling. But yet, when he was in the batter's box, he was real aggressive. And that's what I remember most about Willie. And just playing against him was a pleasure. Because, hey, he's Willie Mays. I mean, if Babe Ruth's not the greatest player ever, it's got to be Willie Mays. And he's in the same group with Babe. I mean, I didn't get to play against Babe, but I certainly got to play a lot of games with Willie as an All-Star competitor, and a lot of games against him when he was with the Giants all those years.
Pete, what was it like with all your hits when you put one in the gap and Willie was chasing it? Tell me about his speed. It was described as foul pole to foul pole was his range. Yeah. What type of defender was he when you went up against him?
Well, he's a 12-time Golden Glove outfielder. I mean, and he understood scouting reports. He understood where the defense was going to be playing there. That's another secret that he had that a lot of guys today don't quite understand. You know, you have to know how you're playing someone, how you're pitching someone to try to put the locks on them. And Willie was one of the best at that. He must have been in charge when they went over defensive meetings about the opposition because he always seemed to be in the right spot at the right time.
Pete Rose, as we wrap it up, also a Negro League player with Henry Aaron, the Josh Gibson stats now, becoming legit with Major League Baseball stats overall. Willie, also a pioneer from Birmingham all the way to the Polo Grounds of New York.
Yeah. Well, the Polo Grounds is a good ball good ballpark for him, unlike Candlestick Park. You know, Candlestick Park didn't do a home run hitter any favors. And if Willie had played his whole career, back in New York, he might have had not 660 home runs, maybe 760.
Awesome. Pete, last one. What are you excited about? What's new in your life, your travel, your family, and Vegas and all the traveling around the country? What are you excited about going forward?
Well, I think I'm excited, Jay, about I got a new documentary coming out in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And that should be a lot of fun promoting that and going around and just talking about my days as a player.
Excellent. I'll see you at Barry's. We'll have a steak. I miss you. Good talking to you.
All right, big guy. Always talking to you.
Pleasure. You got it. Pat, there he is, Pete Rose. Wow.
So there we go. We double stacked that. Pete Rose and before that, Reggie Jackson. And that was my week. That was a highlight of my week for me. You know, as we're waiting for more NFL content here to have that ability to talk on the week that Willie Mays passed away. Hope you enjoyed that, because I don't think that's going to happen for me again or many other people in radio to have those two gentlemen on in a 24-hour period talking from the heart about the greatest baseball player of all time. That was the takeaway. Willie Mays is the greatest baseball player of all time. He passed away. A lot of people affected by this will be thinking about it, talking about it, sitting at the barbecue this weekend and tipping one for the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays. When we come back, more of our coverage. J.J. Redick now is the new head coach of the Lakers. Kurt Heelan will join us at Basketball Talk from NBC. Kurt's going to come out here and spend some time with us for the NBA Summer League. But I want to talk to him coming up next on J.J. Redick. Did the Lakers get it right? Was he the second or third choice? I don't know. I don't think we're going to all know this, but Danny Hurley seemed to be the first choice overall. But when we come back, we'll dive into this hire and what it means for the Lakers. Desperation move? Or will this come back to be one of the great decisions they've made in recent years when we continue? JT on the flagship of the Silver and Black. We are brought to you by Boyd Gaming. All the local Boyd properties here in Vegas are built around Raider promotion for locals. If you're a local in town, go to any of the Boyd Gaming properties and stick around and look around and see all the Raider gear, all the Raider promotion. Boyd Gaming, proud partner of our show. Kurt Heelan is kind enough to join us, one of the premier NBA insiders, my go-to guy. He provides content year-round, and he was one of the first to report on the Lakers agreeing to a deal, making J.J. Redick their next head coach, and he joins us. And Kurt, I have a feeling you had part of this article written for a while, then you had a look at Bobby Hurley, and then it came back to this column. What's this story been like for you the last couple weeks?
Yeah, it's interesting because Redick's just kind of been the front runner the whole time, and you kept thinking, is that really what they're going to do? I mean, it's, you know, he might turn out to be great. There's not, he doesn't have experience, but it's not like there are other massive red flags. Like, he might be able to do this job. He might grow and do this job. But the Lakers aren't really in a position to have somebody grow, are they? Like, I kept waiting. That's why Hurley made some sense here. If you're trying to, an X's and O's guy who's got coaching experience, and by the way, knows how to build a program and develop players, like, that made some sense on that level. Redick maybe can do all that. He certainly got the IQ, but it just, I kept waiting for another shoe to drop until they kind of, what I had heard was that they weren't sold internally top to bottom. Like, that is a somewhat fractured front office with its little camps, and it took a while for everybody to get enough on the same page that they made this move.
All right, so that's fair. I mean, look, someone had to get the job, and they didn't want to go through a retread, all due respect to the retreads that the NBA is famous for. Yeah. I mean, how many times is Scott Skiles going to get a job? And whenever it's Monty, look at what's going on with Monty Williams, a really respected guy, in and out, in and out. We've seen this with other coaches recently with the Lakers and the way they've tried to make a quick fix, and if it doesn't work, they get out of it. I understand all that, but it's clear that J.J. Redick got this job because of his friendship, relationship, podcast with LeBron. LeBron's the big name in the room here. So how do you think they're going to work together, coach and iconic player?
I think we got to throw Anthony Davis in there, too. Look, this doesn't happen. I love the way LeBron's people are always like, he was not involved in this coaching search. And if you said that to anybody around the Lakers, you got, like, eye rolls. He, at the very least, it's the most generous reading of this, he still gets the emperor's thumbs up, thumbs down on this, right? Like, they are not hiring somebody LeBron doesn't want. They are certainly not hiring somebody Anthony Davis doesn't want. He was not comfortable with, or he wasn't happy with Darvin Ham at the end. He was throwing him under the bus after that loss to the Nuggets. They were going to get somebody. It starts there. And all this other stuff they talk about wanting to build, I mean, that's great. Hey, I hope, again, hope that I'm wrong. Hope that J.J. Redick proves that he can develop players and build a program. Because I think what they'd like to do ultimately is something like the Miami Heat, which is, hey, Miami can get free agents. Like, Jimmy Butler will go there. LeBron James went there, right? You can get free agents. But that only works because every year they find a Jaime Jaquez or a Tyler Hero or a Duncan Robinson and develop these guys and build a, you know, Gabe Vincent who went to the Lakers. They kept finding guys who can help them. They build up these guys, and the Lakers have been very inconsistent at that. They've got Austin Reeves. It's not like they miss on all of them, but they have to have that kind of pipeline in the modern NBA where it really is going to look more like, you know, you're going to have one or two stars and you're going to have to build. Teams are going to look more like Denver. You get your star, you get two guys at the max, and then you've got to put role players around them because the second apron is just so onerous.
Kurt Heelan is our guest. Let's move on to a couple other storylines. We love to take stories and move it forward. So the Bronny James thing, anything that we should keep an eye on with this hire, LeBron, the podcast, Bronny traveling with dad, Bronny taken late in the second round or whatever. I don't know. It should be pretty easy to trade for any second round pick, not top five pick in NBA history. If you want a second round pick midway through the second round and you make a phone call, you can make that trade easily. What are you sensing and hearing in Los Angeles?
Exactly that. Look, once you get past 42, 43 in the NBA draft, you can buy the pick. Like, it's not hard to get those picks. And if a team really wanted to take a shot on Bronny, but look, he's only worked out for Phoenix. He's only worked out for Phoenix and the Lakers. That's where they would ideally like him to go. They think that those are good fits for him. You know, I know they threw out Minnesota today and some other teams. If what Rich Paul wants is a genuine NBA contract, not a two-way contract, but a genuine NBA contract, because he's going to spend the year in the G League anyway, but if he gets the genuine NBA contract, he makes league minimum, you know, a few million to be in the G League much of the year. I don't know if anybody beyond the Lakers is going to do that. Phoenix has talked about it, they've worked him out, but that was, again, there was some hope that maybe LeBron will come here. LeBron's not going there for the minimum. He shot that. Rich Paul shot that down talking to ESPN the other day. So I think the floor is 55 where the Lakers pick, and it's not. Wouldn't be shocking if either the Lakers moved up or somebody moved up and tried to grab him in the 40s, and then see if they can turn him into a. You know who I heard him compared to by a scout that I liked? Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, man, he's got some skills. He's got some athleticism. He defends. If he can learn to shoot, he could be a Deuce McBride kind of guy. Like, he could be a kind of good, solid role player off the bench. And beyond that, yeah, that'd be great, but I wouldn't bet on it. Mm-hmm. But he's worth taking a flyer on. He's got the athleticism. He's got the IQ. He's got the drive and the work ethic. So if he's got all that, you know, there's been worse gambles.
Kurt Heelan is our guest. So as we wrap it up with you, the Celtics' legacy of this championship.
Yeah.
I know you know a lot of the modern-day championship teams. The easy comparable would be the Garnett-Paul Pierce Celtic team, but this Celtic team had a better record in the postseason. I'll put Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum up against those two guys, and Garnett was elite, and so was Paul Pierce. I think these guys are elite. The coaching scenario is a little bit interesting, but you got a young head coach who just won a championship, Porzingis. When he was healthy, he could be a great player. So when we look back 20, 30 years from now on the Celtics who won the 2024 title, what are we going to say about him? Who are we going to compare him to?
I think a little of that depends on what happens over the next couple of years. Remember, they have all eight, their top eight coming back. Like it's going to get expensive with extensions for Derek White and Jason Tatum coming and stuff. They're not going to be able to keep it together forever. But they've got a chance, and if they can win one or two, you look at them differently. It's a weird time in the NBA because you're transitioning from the LeBron, Curry, Durant era, the LeBron, Curry era, to what I think we'll just call the Wemby era that's coming up, the Wembanyama era. And you're kind of in this middle ground where it's a bridge where those old guys aren't gone, but they're not the best yet, not the best players. But I don't, you know, the comp I liked, and this came up from, I'm not going to take credit for it, it was Bill Simmons, but, or his show, the 2007 Spurs. That was a really good team, kind of in a weird transition time. They stomped the LeBron Cavaliers before LeBron, you know, they didn't really, LeBron wasn't ready for that stage. He dragged the team not ready for it. And that team was a machine. That was really efficient. That was a really good, I mean, Duncan and Ginobili, like that was such a, such a good team. And they never really grabbed the fascination of the public the way the Warriors would a few years later or other, you know, or coming up, you know, the Kobe Lakers and those Sixers, I mean, those other Celtics teams you talked about. I wonder if it's one of those where I think they'll win more. I think they can easily win at least one of the next two, one of the next three, something like that, and establish themselves as a little more than a one-off team. But it's not going to be easy, and I don't know that for whatever reason, is it just me, JT? Is this team not, it just doesn't capture the imagination of the public. Maybe it was because they didn't have close games in this, and they're really, you know, I don't know what it is because they're a really good team. They were certainly the best team in the NBA this year, but they didn't seem to, the public didn't seem fascinated with them.
Right. Now, that's a good way to sum it up. They didn't, a lot of people aren't as fascinated sometimes with Boston teams, unless they're super elite, the Bird years especially, Havlicek, history, Red Auerbach and all that. But, man, they were good, and they had a pretty easy road. It wasn't a road with a bunch of landmines along the way. Giannis, the Knicks, Indiana, some of the other teams. But they win, and they pass the Lakers 18-17. I'll see you out here soon for Summer League. Looking forward to seeing you again, friend.
I will be out there. I'm going to be out there forever, JT, because I'm going to the USA camp and games for that week four too, so we'll catch up.
Appreciate Kurt Heelan joining us. Really good, and he had a lot to say on this. My sons are Laker fans. Again, I'm a Knicks fan, but I got a house with two sons I care a lot about who are Laker fans, and my oldest one doesn't like the move. And look, Darvin Ham and Frank Vogel and all the other coaches that they've had. Vogel won a title for the Lakers. They ran him out of Dodge. And then Darvin Ham in his first year went to the conference finals. The conference finals. He's pretty good. I thought he was pretty good, and they walked from him. I think a lot of it has to do with the chemistry of Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and now LeBron opting out of his contract to make even more money. Man, this is one hell of a businessman, LeBron James. When we come back, we'll wrap it up on the other side. Larry Kruger, sports talk host in San Francisco, you should be familiar with him, does a lot of work with the Niners and the Giants. We'll wrap up the week with him as we fit him in here on a Friday. JT, as we continue, you're listening to the flagship of the Silver and Black, brought to you by M Resort Spahn Casino. A lot of concerts out at the pool, a lot of good times inside at the great restaurants. And remember, it's the official hotel of the Silver and Black on the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio. All right, finally, we're wrapping up our week here on the flagship of the Raiders, Raider Nation Radio. Hope everyone has a great, great weekend, man. I'm tempted. Bobby, I'm tempted to go back to that Dead & Company show. Buddies went last night, and it was incredible again. So if you're looking for a ticket to a show, there's so many. And we had Johnny Katz on yesterday with Lady Gaga, Bruno Mars, Adele, Dead & Company in town, and that's just four. I mean, what are there? 30 concerts going on and shows coming. Oh, also, I drove by the Mirage, kind of waved goodbye to the Mirage. I had friends in town as the Mirage is starting their transformation to closing, and the Hard Rock with the giant guitar and what that's going to look like years from now, because I'm assuming that's going to take a long time to build it. But before we thank our proud partners, I'm waiting on Larry Kruger to join us. Very good sports talk host in San Francisco, fantastic, and he gave me a late text that he's available to come on. Trevor Lawrence's contract extension, the Euros, Copa, a lot of soccer going on, and the NFL is kind of quiet now. Everybody in the NFL is really trying to put together these rankings of the top
teams in regards to every position, units, all of this stuff. And as we spent a lot of time this week reminding everybody, there's not a lot of positives for the Raiders on a national level other than Christian Wilkins, Max Crosby, the defensive line. No one's paying attention to the Raiders, as we continue to stress, because of the quarterback. I'm looking at ESPN right now, and the cover story is Caleb Williams. His passion to learn is going to define his rookie season. Good. Caleb Williams is a brilliant player. Brilliant player, I think fantastic, and he deserves to bring extra media coverage to Chicago as the number one overall pick. But again, the Raiders deserve more coverage than they've been getting along the way. Oh, another big thing I wanted to mention. David Shaw, friend of the show, a former great friend of the Raiders, David Shaw, just joined the Broncos front office. I only have amazing things to say about David Shaw. And I was kind of surprised he wasn't a head coach of the Raiders already. I think over the last 15 to 20 years, with his great track record at Stanford and what he was able to do, David Shaw would have been the head coach of the Raiders. I would have bet on it, and I'm not a betting man. But this year he interviewed for the Chargers head coaching job that went to Jim Harbaugh and the Titans job that went to Brian Callahan. He's the winningest head coach in Stanford history, 96-54. He was the offensive coordinator on Harbaugh's staff in 2007. And I just think the world of him. He's a good guy, man. The connection, Willie Shaw, the Raiders, David Shaw, 51 years old. He has some friends who are up there with the Broncos staff. And again, as much as I always talk about sweeping the Broncos, and let's continue to do it, 8 in a row against Denver. I hope it goes to 10 in a row, but I just have great things to say about David Shaw. He's a great human being, always been around the Raiders in some type of capacity. I think last year I had a good conversation with him on the sidelines in training camp as he came out here and covered the Raiders for NFL Network. So wanted to get that in here before we have our last guest, and I thank our sponsors here. This week was all about Willie Mays. We talked about it a lot, and we're able to wrap up the show with Larry Krueger, who has a very successful podcast, The Krug Show, on YouTube. One of the reasons I'm doing YouTube is Larry has something really good brewing up there for all the years he's been on KMBR, appearing on 95.7 The Game, and just a solid dude. We shared the same agent for decades, and I go back a long way, and he joins us as we wrap it up on Friday. Larry, thanks for a few minutes. I want to begin. I'm sure you had a big week, unfortunately, on the death of Willie Mays. All the greatness of Willie Mays. Give us a little bit of a taste of what you've talked to your audience about and what it was like this week for you.
Well, I mean, you know, the greatest, and just a guy who was incredibly dignified, and what a great life. And, you know, you just think of Jackie Robinson opening up the door and guys like Willie Mays coming through that door, and you know, to leave Mobile, Alabama, and to go to New York City and to become this monster star in a city of that magnitude. And you have Mickey Mantle, Duke Schneider, and they're all in the same city at the same time. And I can only imagine, you know, what that must have been like for him. And then just just a dignified human being. JT had a chance to interview Willie when the Giants opened the ballpark, and you know, it's like, it's really the only time I've ever really been kind of like nervous and kind of tongue-tied, because he's just, you know, the magnitude of such an incredible player. He was my father's hero. I was born too late to have seen him play live, but, just an incredible, incredible, beloved figure in San Francisco and New York and by baseball fans around the world.
Larry Krueger's our guest. As you dove into the numbers, Larry, and as I talk to legends about this, I'm most fascinated by Rookie of the Year in 51 than the commitment to the Korean War and what he did to step out of baseball for his country, then to come back and win the MVP and the World Series right out of being absent from baseball. I can't imagine another athlete ever having to do this in our lifetime. I don't think it'll happen with the draft and the situation that we're in. In 2024 and beyond here, but that's incredible to be the best rookie and maybe one of the best players. He could have been an MVP, and then to come back and hit the ground running with those great accomplishments.
No, yeah, you're totally spot on. I mean, with that one, I mean, forget baseball player or athlete, just anybody. I mean, if you quit your job for 2 years, didn't do it at all, and then came back to it, would you be able to reach the highest level? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, it's a huge testament to his work ethic and his talent. He was the ultimate, you know, it's funny. There's so many things you could say about Willie, JT, but the thing that stands out to me is that his physical, everybody marveled at the man's physical abilities. The power, the speed, the explosiveness, the five tools, the arm strength, because everybody could see that. But it really kind of hid the fact that he was the ultimate thinking man's player who positioned all of the outfielders all of the time. Now guys in the big leagues, you know, I saw a guy the other day at a game, JT, he was filling in the outfield for somebody, and he ran from the outfield back to the dugout because he didn't have his cue card that they put in their back pocket on where to play everybody. And Willie Mays, I mean, there was no cue card, and that was all between his ears, and he just, like, knew how to play all the ball players. So, you know, he was a different player from a different era, but what an incredible talent. And if you say, who is the real home run king, it's Barry Bonds, if you look at the numbers. Yeah. But then other people say, no, it's Hank Aaron. But if you really want to think about it and do it justice, it was Willie, because mm-hmm. he played in the Polo Grounds and it was like 480 to center, and it was not meant for him. And then he played at Candlestick at the beginning when you had to hit it in the football seats, and mm-hmm. he just never played in a park that was conducive for his power. Otherwise he probably would have hit, you know, he would have been the home run king.
I agree 100%. Larry Kruger, our guest. You know, Larry, I lived across the street from Pac Bell at the time when they were building it and they opened it. And I was there for some of those games, especially the Bonds games. But when Willie Mays was in attendance and he'd tip his cap or people would see him, I think I'm a big statue guy. I love statues from sports. I think the icon should have it. Is that maybe the best statue in all of sports anywhere around the world that was done perfectly, Willie Mays Plaza as a front entry into the stadium? And to have that experience, you've walked by it so many times, and now with the flowers on it this week and people paying tribute and having a beer across the street at Momo's, I just think at 93 years old, what a celebration of life to a legend that we knew wasn't going to be left and around forever, and then they tie it into the Birmingham game. And we saw what was happening in Birmingham with all this. It's just a beautiful way to pay tribute to this great man.
Well, it's such a unique thing, too, because it's right at a spot at the beginning of the ballpark where it's probably the most popular meeting place to meet mm-hmm. people before the game. It's like, hey, I'll meet you at the Willie Mays statue because you're right there and you can walk in. But, yeah, no, his impact. And, you know, on the city of San Francisco and New York was unbelievable. I mean, I think Ray Ratto, you know, the writer here in the Bay Area, said it best in the Willie retrospective, trying to define Willie's career. And he said that, you know, Willie was the signature player of baseball's most talented era. And that's really the truth. I mean, that's when he played there is when you had the greatest talents. I think that's the highest level of talent that baseball's ever had. And he was, you know, in an era with Frank Robinson and Hank Aaron and Mickey Mantle, he was just a little bit better than all those guys in almost every category. So I think it's well said by Ratto.
Yeah, if you go to YouTube, The Krug Show, it's a monster. It's doing well, and I'm putting a lot of stuff up on YouTube now and following his format. Great content provider in the Bay Area and nationally. Larry, finally, it's amazing. I don't have a problem, and I know you don't either, defining eras or comparing players to others. On my Mount Rushmore, you cannot move Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, and Babe Ruth. Too important, too great, too elite. They can't be moved for someone else, even if Mike Trout stayed healthy. Ohtani on the very, very outside, if he ever pitches again and is dominant, and he only has 39 wins. That's not Walter Johnson, okay? That's not Koufax. He's got a long way to go. But who would you put forth on your list if you look at Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, and Henry Aaron? Do you think there's another player on the Mount Rushmore of baseball that jumps out to you?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you know, they're in Rickwood Stadium, and it makes me think of the Negro League players. And, you know, Josh Gibson. You know, Josh Gibson was an incredible player. But, I mean, you know, I'm not sure who I would put on that list. I think the guy, you know, we're such a power oriented society that I think the guy that is the greatest individual player that never gets to quite the respect would be Ichiro. I mean, Ichiro is just what he did with the Oryx Blue Wave for years before he got to the big leagues. And then what he did, you know, as far as, you know, just as a contact hitter and his ability to run, throw, and, you know, if he wanted to hit for power, he could. I mean, they used to, I think he won the home run derby at at Oracle Park the year of the All-Star game. I mean, Ichiro, arm strength, foot speed, talent, contact ability. I think he's one of the greatest players I've ever seen.
Yeah. Beautifully said. Larry, thanks for doing this and getting on with us. Really appreciate your time, man. All the best. Hope to see you soon.
Thanks, JT. Always good. Talk to you.
Thanks again to Larry Kruger. Nice surprise that we could get him. As we wrap up our week here on Raider Nation Radio, he's got a good vibe, man. I like what he does. And if you're on YouTube, just go follow his show, The Krug Show. And it's very heavy based in the Bay Area, but I like a lot of the content that he does there. As we wrap it up. So, a couple of housekeeping items before we come back next week, which should be a really good week. I think we're lining up some pretty cool stuff that I'll tell you on Monday when I lock it in. But we added Virgin Hotel, Virgin Vegas, back to our portfolio of proud partners here. Yesterday I was with Cliff Atkinson, the president of Virgin, and he's renewing his deal with us that stopped with the former regime as they were making changes to the property, and they're making great property changes. So I walked Virgin yesterday with him, and he showed me everything from the pool to the restaurants, which I'm really familiar with, but what they're going to do with the gaming floor, sports-related, the sports book, all of these announcements over the next year, I'm hoping we debut them on our show. So starting in August to kick off football season, maybe a little bit earlier, we bring back Virgin to the show, and we're excited to have them there because that's part of my DNA. It used to be the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, and that's where I met my wife, walking into a Rolling Stones concert. Wife and I will be heading up July 4th to go see the Stones in Vancouver. I just feel really good about this. The Black Hole, thanks to the Black Hole, Mark Jones, everyone with the local Black Hole chapter here in Vegas, but all the Black Hole chapters that are all around the country here. You can become a lifetime member for about $50. A lifetime member to the Black Hole. Go to theblackhole.com, click on memberships. It's one of the best deals I've ever seen. As I'm hosting here and I look in my wallet, which I don't have a big wallet, I have a small wallet, I have my Black Hole card in there. Become a member, you'll thank me for that. It's fantastic. Boyd Gaming, as we mentioned earlier today, proud partner of the show with all their properties, locals, locals, locals. The Orleans is doing a lot with Raider Nation. A lot with Raider Nation going forward, we'll tell you about that. Our great friends at Modelo, the number one beer in America. I have a bucket of Modelos on ice. It was very good this week. I'm going to reward myself with a bucket of Modelos coming up here. Alex in Orlando, DeCastaverde Law Group, proud partners of the show. Just love their law group. You know, every attorney in this town is telling you how great they are, except them and a couple of our other friends. We have a couple other attorney fans here that, at this point in time, my connection is to the DeCastaverde Law Group. They're very humble guys, Alex and Orlando. They don't pound their chest. They don't ride around on motorcycles with tank tops telling you they're number one. They don't say, they don't buy lists saying I'm the number one in this magazine garbage. It's the DeCastaverde Law Group. Go follow them and have the number in your phone in case you need them. 702-222-9999 is the number there for them. Excuse me a second. Voice, got a Friday voice going on. Thank you for that. We want to thank our good friends at Tequila Commissario. Nice gift they gave us last week as they re-up with us. And they're with us, the Ferrari of tequilas. You can get it anywhere. Lee's, go to Lee's, ask for Tequila Commissario, proud partner of our show. Golden Entertainment, we love PTs. They fuel the monologue, as you know that, 5 to 7. Midnight to 2. If you haven't been over to the Strat lately for music, and they have great music venues, or if you haven't been to their signature PT's Tavern right there as you walk into the lobby, and a really clean and upscale William Hill sports book, go look at the Strat again, especially if you want to go hit some golf balls and maybe look at Atomic Golf if you haven't been there. La Casa Cigars with Mike. Thanks, Mike, for everything. I'll be over there tonight at some point. I'll be going to restock some cigars as I have friends coming over this weekend. I get my cigars from La Casa Cigar. I get a cocktail there. And I also watch live music at La Casa Cigars. You can go outside with a stick and a cocktail. You can get a Woodson Bourbon Whiskey and sit outside there. Or Remy Martin, Stephen Brody. He's back at the parade. He went to the clinching game. Remy Martin team up for excellence. We love that partnership. The M Resort Spa and Casino, the official hotel of the Silver and Black. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. My sons the other night with my son's birthday. You know, they didn't order a tomahawk steak. They brought in Cane's. They had Cane's, the buttery Texas toast. I asked for the coleslaw. I love the iced tea. I love the lemonade. Proud partner of UNLV. And my show, Love Raising Cane's. And remember, Resorts World, with everything they got going on. Man, oh man, I sense a little staycation for the wife and I over at Resorts World. Want to head on over there and check out everything they got going and get in the rooms and check out the views. So we love everything at Resorts World. So one more proud partner that we have to announce. I think I'm going to do that next week. And we're off to the races, man. We got a lot happening heading into the summer. Also, July 8th, we debut the top 10 Raider games of all time. It's going to take me about 2 or 3 days to get through the honorable mentions. It's hard. But we have 9 through 1. We have 9 through 1 locked in. We're just not that sure about what we're going to do at 10. So they're going to count down from 10 all the way to 1. And 1 is pretty, you know, you can assume there's going to be Super Bowls in there. Why wouldn't there be? Greatest game, Super Bowl victories, 1967 championship. But Bobby's trying to grab some sound. We're getting some assistance from the Raiders, and we're excited about that. So that's it. Though we had a good week, man, as you heard. Reggie Jackson, Pete Rose, all the guests we had this week, they were all current, up to speed, and we're counting down to beautiful Costa Mesa, where the Raiders will have training camp, and there'll be some announcements around that, too. And how we're going to be doing our shows along the way. Vinny Bonsignore in for Q Myers. Spent a lot of time with Vinny this week. He's got a big show lined up. Thanks for listening, as always, to Raider Nation Radio. And, hey, please sign up on YouTube, JT the Brick YT, and see what we're doing behind the scenes and come on into the chat. Have a great weekend, everyone. And I'm just loving, I'm a Raider for life. Fever. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.